Welcome to Tabletop Tommies, episode 3. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Phil.
And today, we'll be talking about the armies we're working on at the minute. Very much off the back of quite a competitive tournament at the Welsh Nationals, where I personally am planning a thematic army next. What about you, Phil?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely looking forward to building something a little less cheesy. No Gurkhas in sight. no Brengineers, no Dacre Stuarts. Yeah.
Kraken. Well, what are you planning, Phil?
So I've got three actually potentially on the go. I've got go big or go home. I picked up a lot of Japanese in the Black Friday sale last year. So I'm kind of working my way through building them and painting them. Haven't got anything particularly thematic in mind at the moment, but I've kind of spread my options in terms of how I built the box sets and got the add-ons as well. So I will do something with that thematically. The two I've got at the moment, which I'm looking ahead towards the Welsh Open. One is the Battle of Admin Box, which was a battle in Burma towards the end of the war, which, having just said I wasn't going to be looking at Dacre Stuarts and Gurkhas, it could potentially involve Gurkhas. So that's a possible one, the Battle of Admin Box. It does depend on the availability of models, not for the British, but actually for the French. So the one I'm hoping to take is going to be the Free French Western Desert List, which is the Battle of Burr Hakim. The problem I've got at the moment is the War Games Atlantic French Infantry box set is as rare as Rocking Horse Doodoo, and trying to get hold of a box of that is proving particularly difficult, and the Senegalese are going to appear in that list.
Yeah, that one box set with the plastic Frenchman, because I prefer plastic models myself. Mm-hmm. I got loads of Warlord metal French, and then they released that box set. So, which always seems to be the way. But it does look very good. And if I do expand my French, which probably isn't likely in the near future, I think that's the way I'll be going with the plastic ones.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I think this is my first kind of dipping my toes into French and bolt action. And I'm very much building it around that theatre selector in the Western Desert book. But if I do then expand into a sort of a generic French force, I'll be keeping that desert theme rather than going the early war route.
Fair enough. So what sort of units are you going to put in it?
So for those that don't know, so the Battle of Burr Hakim, it was the summer of 1942, May to June 1942. And the context was that the French were holed up in Libya and the Italians had basically encircled them. And the Battle of Burr Hakim is effectively the French breaking out of this encirclement. Now, the French army at the time, they had some equipment that they'd managed to keep hold of, obviously, when France capitulated. But they also had a lot of British equipment. So the list is really interesting. So you can take some of those like typical French units that you see in the Allies of the Army Book of the Allies of France and so on. But you also get some British add-ons. So it's in the Western Desert Selector. In terms of the infantry squads you can take, you've got things like the Foreign Legion. So they are veteran units who are stubborn. You've got the Senegalese who are, you can take as regular and they come as tough fighters. You've got the North African infantry section, which essentially is the Moroccans and Algerians and Tunisians. And they come with the Mountaineer special rule, which allows them to run through rough ground. Get some regular infantry if you want. And then there's also sappers and miners, which is only really relevant, to be fair, if you're playing some of the missions in the campaign book, because they're not engineers in the sense of having flamethrowers and so on. So quite a few options there in terms of squads. And the way the selector works is you're not limited to having two of a certain type. You effectively you can take up to five units, and it can be any combination of those units I just mentioned.
With all the special rules.
Yeah. So, in terms of the units I'm looking at, it's going to be a combination of, the Foreign Legion, the Senegalese, and I picked up some of the artisans, Moroccans, the Goumier, which are lovely models. So I'm hoping to sneak a unit of those in.
What national rules do the Free French get? Do they still get a free artillery piece?
So the Free French in the Western Desert, so it's a theatre selector rather than a reinforced platoon of the generic type. So they do get some of the same national special rules that the French get for the early war French, but there are some differences. So yes, they do get the forward artillery doctrine. So you are able to take an extra gun, but it can only be a light howitzer or a light or medium anti-tank gun.
So not bad, not quite as good as the normal French. I say normal French, I mean early war French.
No, but with this particular selector, so the Canon de 75, mixing my French and
Oui.
English there, it has a special rule in it for this selector whereby you can effectively turn it into a British 25 pounder. So you can fire it as a light howitzer, or you can pay an extra 5 points and also fire it as a light anti-tank gun.
The ever popular 25 pounder.
Yep, appearing in a French list. So yeah, you do get the additional artillery unit, but as I said, only a light howitzer or a light or medium anti-tank gun. And then everything else is different. So they get a rule called Fighting French, which
Yep.
allows them to re-roll unsuccessful morale checks. Much like the Soviets do, the second result stands. They get Colonial Veterans Rule, which essentially means you can't take any experienced troops of any kind. They get an interesting one called Sioux Officer. So the Sioux Officer Rule basically means if your officer is killed once per game, as soon as an officer has been removed as a casualty, the NCO, the nearest infantry squad within 12 inches of the officer when he became a casualty, takes over command of the platoon.
And what rank does he become, that NCO?
So he becomes a second lieutenant. So he gets all the benefits of a second lieutenant. So he gets the plus one to all order and morale tests to those to his own unit and those within 6 inches.
Nice.
But he remains with the original squad. So you don't have an extra unit, and so you lose the die obviously for that officer being killed. But the NCO of that unit, providing he's within 12 inches of the officer, will become the next officer, which is an interesting little rule there.
Yeah, it's very cool. It does mean you have to think about where your officer's placed during the battle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if he's more than 12 away, I assume you just lose that perk.
Exactly. Yeah, you would lose the dice, and you're no longer with an officer. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the final national rule is that they get the Desert Fighters trait, which, to be fair, only really applies if you're playing, the campaign missions where the desert rules come into play. So in terms of the actual selection itself, so you can have, the usual situation of one officer, first or second lieutenant, two infantry squads from a combination of the ones I mentioned earlier. And then it's things like 0 to 3 infantry squads, an additional captain or major, a medical officer if you want, 0 to 1 MMG, or yeah, sorry, it is only an MMG, a mortar team, anti-tank team, and a marksman. So the marksman's interesting because it's the lone version rather than the team version. So it's a single marksman as a sniper, as opposed to a two-man team as a sniper.
Yeah.
Artillery wise, it's 0 to 1 anti-tank gun, and as I said, most of them are either light howitzers, or you can take some AT guns and also some anti-aircraft guns. No tanks at all. They didn't have any in the Battle of Burger King, but you can take 0 to 2 armored cars or self-propelled guns, and there's some interesting options again, which are specific to the selector itself.
Yeah. That marksman, so it's a man on his own, so he's
Yes.
quite vulnerable there.
He is, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you get a points discount or?
Yeah, it's 10 points cheaper. So it's 40 points for a regular rather than 50 points for the sniper if it was a team. Yeah.
Not bad. So what armored cars can they take?
So the armor cars, you can take the Dodge Tanak, excuse my pronunciation, which is a 7+ armored carrier. It's open topped, has recce. And then in terms of the weapons, it has a low velocity light anti-tank gun.
Yep.
So that has a +3 penetration rather than a +4. That comes with a coaxial MMG in an open turret, so that's why it's the open topped. And it also has a pintle mounted LMG.
Nice.
Perry make a lovely model for that, so I've actually got that model from Perry Miniatures. Don't know if it's any good in the game, but it looks good. It looks nice.
Nice.
And then in terms of your other options, you've got the recce carrier, which is your standard option as per Armies of Great Britain.
Yep, very British, much like your 25 pounder.
Much like your 25 pounder, yeah. So the one I'm looking at, which I'm interested in, is the Canon de 75 Portie, which essentially is a rear-facing light howitzer on the back of a truck. What the French did at the time was essentially that they had quite a few artillery guns, and they used them as mobile anti-tank guns, and sort of self-propelled guns. So they basically stuck them on the back of a truck.
Very much like the Dodge M6.
Yes, absolutely, yeah, and that also comes with that upgrade. So it's a light howitzer, but you can pay an extra 5 points, and that gives you the light AT gun option. So you get the penetration value of +4.
That's actually really good.
Yeah.
Because the Dodge version, what I find with that is the light anti-tank gun's brilliant because you've got this very cheap little anti-tank gun, but when there's no tanks to be shooting at, it doesn't really have much to do. And so I would 100% pay 5 points to add the howitzer to that one.
Yeah.
And so from a game perspective, quality, that one.
Yeah. So because it's 0-2 armored cars, you potentially could take 4 light howitzers / light anti-tank guns. So you can take the one you pay, the howitzer you pay for, the static one, you get the free one because of the French national rule, and then you could take 2 of these porties as well. So that's quite interesting.
Certainly be a bit of an infantry killer, that one.
Yeah, and light, you know, like tanks as well. You know, if you've got 4 light AT guns, you know, mm-hmm. facing you, you're going to think twice about where you put your brain carriers and your Stuarts and all that sort of stuff. And then the other options you've got is the light anti-tank portie, which is a 25mm anti-tank gun on the naval mount. So this one has a 360 arc of fire rather than being limited to the rear-facing howitzer I mentioned earlier. You've got an anti-aircraft truck, which is a dual AA HMG on an open platform with a 360-degree arc of fire, which you can upgrade to quad AA HMG. So very similar to the M16, the American half-track, which has the quad
HMG. Yeah, but the quad HMGs, very nice.
Yeah. And then the last one I'm really interested in, and I haven't seen anyone that actually makes a model yet, so it would be a modelling opportunity. It's a 25mm carrier. So it's a British Universal Carrier, which is fitted with a forward-facing light anti-tank gun.
Okay.
So it's a 7-plus armoured carrier. It's open-topped. It's got turn on the spot like the usual Universal Carriers do, with a forward-facing light anti-tank gun. And you can add the pintle-mounted LMG as well. So I think that would make for quite an interesting modelling opportunity there.
And also, I imagine, pretty cheap points-wise for what you're getting there.
They're all incredibly cheap, to be fair. So you know, the Dodge Tanak is 115 points regular. The Recce Carrier is the normal 60 points for the base model, and then you add on your flavour, you know, accordingly in terms of your pintle and your anti-tank rifle if you want that and so on. The Cannon de Portie is 65 points. Likewise, the anti-tank Portie with a 360 arc is 65. The AA anti-aircraft truck is 60 points regular. And then the 25mm carrier actually is 105 points regular.
Nice.
And then in terms of your transports, it's essentially British transports. So you've got your Bren carrier, you've got your 3-ton truck, your 15 CWT truck, your 30 CWT truck, your Jeep, and then your quad tractor. So in real life, in Burr Hakeem, effectively what happened was the Foreign Legion broke out of the encirclement in Bren carriers. So this is an amazing like opportunity here to, you know, using the Perry Foreign Legion miniatures, which are really nice, getting hold of some Universal carriers and combining that with the Senegalese models from War Games Atlantic. I think you can make a really interesting looking army, which, you know, to be fair, it's not going to do particularly well if you come up against heavy armor. But given the price of everything, I think you could actually come up with something really interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, that's what I've got planned. Let's say hoping to take it to the Welsh Open. Couldn't take it last year. I don't think the selector was an option last year, but Mark Vance has added it to this year's permitted selectors. So we'll be building it. I've had the models now for about 10-11 months. I've just been waiting for an excuse to build them. And this is a really great reason to do it.
Yeah, that's one of the problems with the theatre selectors, that you get all excited about it and then realise there's never a tournament you can run them at.
Yeah, and particularly with this one, because the units are very specific to the actual theatre selector. So with the 75 Deportee, effectively that's going to be a Rubicon, you know, 30 CWT truck with a Perry light howitzer stuck on the back of it. Now, you can't take that in a normal French reinforced platoon. So I'm going to end up building units and kit bashing stuff, particularly for this theatre selector, which I'm not going to be able to use in tournaments and events, which are, you know, generic platoons, because these units don't come with that special sentence saying can be used in a generic reinforced platoon.
It certainly would be nice to see more theatre selector tournaments where you allow them, because generally, if it's competitive, go generic, keep it simple. If it's sort of more of an open tournament like the Welsh Open,
yeah,
it is really nice to push people towards the theatre selectors, because it just forces people to try something new.
Absolutely, yeah.
And helps you to see new things, because it gets a bit boring just playing generic platoons over and over again.
Yeah.
And it's really nice when you get a historical matchup.
Yes, good, yeah. So that's what I've got planned. So finishing off the Japanese, and I'll work out a relevant theatre and build when they're ready. But yeah, looking forward to the French, and as you know, Also, as I said earlier, I've got this idea of the Battle of Admin Box for a kind of Indian Burma list as well.
Yeah, and then you just need an opportunity to run it.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. So I'll make a decision. I bought a ticket already for the Welsh Open, and I bought an ally ticket, so I'm definitely not taking Japanese. so it's just a question of if I can get hold of some of those War Games Atlantic box sets for the French, Senegalese, then, yeah, it's going to be the French.
Nice.
And yourself, Johnny, what are you looking at now?
I'm looking more at the other side of the war, the Axis powers, okay. Specifically Fortress Budapest. So when they released Campaign Fortress Budapest, mm-hmm. I was generally very impressed with it, as the book goes. I can't remember the author's name. And the funny thing is, it's in front of me and I can't see it. But I'm sure I'll feel like an idiot later when it's somewhere really obvious. But yeah, it's one of the best campaign books, I'd say, because mm-hmm. not only does it have sort of all the nice history of the encirclement of Budapest and loads of nice scenarios and nice maps, it's also really well written in terms of it's very balanced. So most of the units, you can actually run them in mm-hmm. normal games without too much imbalance.
Okay.
And so, yeah, really, it was written by someone who had play-tested the rules, made sure that it all fits nicely. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I'm looking at the reconnaissance platoon in there. So it's on page 138. That one is a really interesting one because it gives you options that you don't get anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So because it's a recce platoon, everything has to be motorized. So you have to put everything in a transport. But because it's a recce platoon, you can make the half tracks, the 250/1s, which are the 5-man transports, for 10 points you can give them recce.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You could also give your Kubelwagen and your Swimwagen recce as well for 10 points. That one I'm less interested in because that's a big chunk of points on that. But actually, with the half tracks, you've already spent that many points. 10 extra points they're already not competitive. 10 extra points mm-hmm. doesn't make that much of a difference. and sometimes it's really powerful if at the start of a turn someone shoots it and you can just recce away behind a building and then the squad can get out without being in danger. It also has this particular selector, it has the armored assault rule, which is brilliant. So that's the one where the officers of the platoon can use U-men snap to action from inside the transport. So it's the only time in the game that I'm aware of. If your officer's in the transport, not only does the transport and the men get the morale boost,
mm-hmm.
he also gets to snap them. So big battle plan is you stick two squads in with them mm-hmm. and then you rush the transport up, turn one, let's say. Turn two, as soon as you get an order dice, you snap to the truck and the squad. But mm-hmm. yeah, you can really use that. Because of that rule, I'm actually going to take a first lieutenant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because with the German rule, that means he gets to snap three units.
Yeah.
And because he can snap within the transport, and actually what he can do as well is he can snap units outside of the transport he's in as well, so you can shout over the side of the transport to other units.
Okay.
You can put them behind other things. Like, say you've got some vehicles, you can put them behind the vehicles and advance up behind them. So I'm thinking something like some trucks, some Panzergrenadier. Mm-hmm. Now, usually I'd go to engineers. There's no engineers in this. So I'd be using my Panzergrenadier with SMGs and Panzerfaust.
Very nice.
So that I've got that anti-tank capability and the anti-infantry.
Yep.
I'd then probably take mainly trucks to carry them, put an MMG on it.
To keep the points down, presumably? Or?
Yeah, to keep the points down. I've looked at building this before with exclusively half-tracks, and it gets very pricey very fast.
Okay.
And so I'll probably go mainly trucks, and if I can squeeze one in, I'll get one of the 250s in, because I've actually got three models ready to go.
Okay.
As I said, the problem you hit is they're so pricey and they don't have any transport capacity that you end up with a weird amount of points left where you can't afford to buy another squad and a transport for it.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so what tends to happen is you end up buying a truck just to have, because it's less points and you've got seven extra seats.
Got it, okay.
So I'll be looking at that. You can take mortars and MMGs. I'm thinking mm-hmm. about doing it as fully motorized sort of recon force. So I'm thinking I'm going to try to avoid anything that's fixed.
Yep.
You can have a sniper team. Again, mm-hmm. I think I'm going to just not go for one of them. You can have a Panzer Schreck. Panzer Schreck's hit and miss. I don't like anything that's a lot of points, only gets one shot. because it tends to miss in my experience.
The models are nice, though. All of the Panzer Shrek models from Warlord Games, I really like.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I do have one that I painted up for my fins. And I was running that with the fins for that exact reason, just because I really like the look of it.
Yeah.
Especially with the flamethrower model, they do with the actual flames coming out the end.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a cracking combination. And then the real fun in the platoon is the armored car section. You can have your little Kubelwagen with the MMGs, but you can't have Recce on them because they're not the transport one. You can have the Panzer II. The one that I like, though, there's a couple of other options, but the one that I really like is the 250/9 half track.
Yes.
Because that's the one. Yeah. It's got a little light autocannon and a coax MMG, but the thing that makes it really nice is it's Recce and it's not open top.
Yes, so there's always a bit of chat about this, isn't there? Because it's essentially the same turret as the 222, but for whatever reason, and I think, was it in the FAQ?
It was added to the FAQ, yeah.
Yeah, so that it's no longer open-topped.
Yeah, and, well, it's got a little grenade mesh, hasn't it, to stop the grenades falling in.
Okay, fair enough.
So,
and the model's really nice, because obviously Warlord released last year their the 250 range of boxes, didn't they? And you can build the 259 from their 250 half-track.
Well, funnily enough, that's another one where I 3D printed one just before they released the box.
Okay.
So it was the classic. I would have bought it as well, but never got the chance because I'd already 3D printed it.
Sure.
And then in the tank section, I have run a Wirblewind with this selector before, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But it's not overly competitive.
Okay. Which you think it would be, though, wouldn't you, given what it's armed with?
Kind of. I think part of the problem is I don't really know how to use it because you've paid all these points. You really want to push it forward, but it's open-topped. And so if you do push it forward, you're very much at risk of taking loads of pins and it doing nothing for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
And which is what usually happens, I find. Or someone gets lucky with a mortar, and because it's open-topped, you get plus one on the damage table.
Sure.
And so it is a bit of a risky proposition. What I prefer is the little stummel. The 250/8, which is again fitting with the theme of the little half tracks, really nice. Little 2-inch high explosive on it, so that's a light howitzer. That one has a Pintle MMG instead, and so you can shoot the pair of them, I believe. Really, the thing that I really like about it is it's like having your medium mortar in the platoon, but when someone's ranging in on you, you can move to get rid of the ranging in and still shoot that turn.
And still fire,
Yeah, and the one that I really want to run, actually, on that note, is the bigger stummel. If I ever do a tank platoon with Germany, I'd really like to run the bigger stummel because it's basically the same thing, but it gets a transport capacity.
So that's the 251, isn't it? Which take eight men in, I believe. Is that something like that?
I think it is. Yeah, it's basically the exact same layout, but you get. I think it's the 251. It might be the /9.
Okay.
Can't remember. But it can carry 8 men. So if in a tank platoon where you have to have transport capacity, it's really nice to not have to buy an extra truck or something for, say you want to just run a mortar or something like that in your back lines.
Yeah.
Being able to just use the stummel to transport them is brilliant.
Mm.
So that's what I'm thinking.
I played against one of those, the bigger stummels last year in the Welsh Open, and my opponent had one of those, with the light howitzer on the front, with a Pioneer squad inside, which is pretty lethal combination, to be fair. So it costs a lot of points, but when it does work and you make it work and it comes off, that's a really good combination.
Oh, yeah. The way I'll be using this, I think, is either I'll be rushing the lieutenant up in a truck and using him to snap the truck, the two squads and himself, so that they can just go, chasing tanks or something. Jumping out, you've got two squads with some Panzerfaust each, and they can just go tank hunting, essentially.
Because
you don't have that risk that you usually get with transports, where you rush up and then everyone's just sat there praying for the next order dice to get out.
Yeah, waiting to jump out, sure.
Which is brilliant. Or the other way I might use it, which would be fun, is you put the truck behind the 250/9 in the stummel, and then you get the officer to snap those three all at once. So you've got the two 250/9s in the stummel and advancing together, all shooting at the same time, and then the truck just advances behind, getting hard cover from them.
Yeah. Got it.
I think that one probably... I think that's one of those battle plans that probably wouldn't work that well. But it would be a lot of fun.
In theory, yeah. And it's worth mentioning that with this selector, you can take 0-2 armored cars plus 0-1 tank.
Oh yeah, that's a good show, because that's, I didn't mention that, and that is why I can take two of the 250/9s.
Yeah, so you've got quite a few options there. I imagine, like you said, it can get expensive quite quickly.
Yeah, it'd be a great one for like a 1500.
Yeah, sure.
Tournament, because the way I really wanted to run it originally was run sort of four squads of Panzer Grenadiers veteran in half tracks, but it just gets super pricey, super fast. I think there's 75 points a half track, and then obviously 65 points for the veteran Panzer Grenadiers before you do anything, before you upgrade them in any way. And so you're already looking at 140 points before you do any upgrades, like the recce for the half track or the SMGs. And that's one of the reasons I'm running them with SMGs rather than assault rifles, just to save
to keep points down.
Yeah. And also, they don't particularly need the extra range, because in the transport, you're aiming to get right in someone's face anyway.
Yeah, sure.
It's only really, I find the assault rifles are useful if you have a backline squad who are going to sort of stand back, maybe hold an objective, because then they can still, they've still got a bit of mobility plus the 18-inch range.
Just listening to you talking about how, you know, you want to take the half tracks and take the tanks, it just reminds me, and I was, you know, this classic new player with Germans. I was like, right, I want a Panzer IV, and I want, you know, some half tracks, and I want, you know, the I want Panzerfaust everywhere, and I want assault rifles. It's like, oh, I've got 7 dice and 1,000 points. Ah, okay. Well, we'll see how this one goes.
Yeah, I think the way that I run this is going to be like about 10 dice. I did the exact same thing, though. When I started with Germany. And funnily, I started with the Panzer III because I thought, it's not so big that it's sort of limiting, but it's not. It's big enough that it can take a hit. And then I was never really impressed with it. And then put that back. It's currently on my shelf there. Hasn't seen the table for a while. And of course, we've come full circle now where that latest FAQ made it useful again.
Yeah, sure.
And so that might get on the table at some point. Cool. Brilliant.
Excellent. Oh, that sounds really good. Yeah, I look forward to seeing that. Hopefully not playing against it, but definitely look forward to seeing it.
Well, if I do take it to the Welsh Open or somewhere similar, it will need some playtesting, so you might be seeing it.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, me and my four anti-tank, light anti-tank guns, French, we'll wait and see how that goes.
Yeah, my half-tracks aren't going to enjoy that.
No.
Brilliant. Cool. Anything else you want to talk about today?
No, I think that's it. It's just nice to, like you said, to take a break from maybe some more competitive play, you know, coming off the back of the Welsh Nationals. And yes, like looking ahead to a you know, more thematic event coming up in September with the Welsh Open.
Brilliant. Right. Well, on that note, I guess I'll just say ta-ta for now.
Yep, ta-ta for now. Thanks, everyone. Please keep liking, subscribing, sharing, all the things that you do, and keep the comments going, both on the Facebook page and also direct to us. It's really appreciated. Thank you very much. Cheers, guys. It's all for now.